Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday's Life and Leadership Network with Reverend Morale P. Brown, a.k.a. Coach Brown. And we're welcoming you to the show here, establishing yourself, your leadership skills, developing your life. And we're going to focus on a very interesting topic, a very interesting concept. Use your ability to achieve maximum impact. Use your ability to achieve maximum impact. We have a special show today. We have a special guest, Mr. Charles K.V. Collins from Livingstone College Student Government Association. He's going to be talking about developing and leveling up your leadership skills. Let's welcome the one and only, the host with the most. We're going to give her a nice welcome. Coach Brown.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ron, for that lovely introduction. Oh, man, always wonderful. Just
I
to
sort
be
of
back
lost that. I lost that AKA there for a minute, but
that's okay.
You know, I got that going.
I know. Look, you're getting over the hump. You're getting over the hump. So it's Wednesday.
I must say, I love your theme. Use your ability to achieve maximum impact. That is extremely mind-boggling. It makes you think.
Yes, yes. I'm excited about it. I just believe that as a visionary, a leader, CEO of your company, that you are always being open to new ideas, new themes, new mottos as you grow and develop and you learn. And that's what leadership is all about. It's being flexible. And so it's just interesting, as I was talking about last week, just want to say hey to my audience. Thank you for tuning in. For those that are on the line, just via telephone, and for those that are on your devices, thank you for supporting the Morrell Brown Incorporated. I call it MBI, where we are passionate about helping you to identify your talents, your abilities, and your gift, and I call it TAG. And once you can do that, we help to build you in your personal life as well as your leadership life or business life, ministry, organization. And I'm so passionate, Dr. Ron, just for the Neo Nation providing this platform. Actually, when I thought about, I'm actually in my fifth month. January is the fifth month.
Wow.
And biblically,
wow.
Five. Yes. Can you believe it? It's amazing.
Wow.
It's so amazing.
We got this. So cool. Let's go ahead. They're so happy you've been here 5 months.
Right. Well, thank you. It goes by so fast. And I was thinking about, I said, no, you're in your fifth month. And when I think about five, biblically, the number is significant to grace and favor and love. And I just believe that what makes a person come on radio, prepare, and make phone calls, market, and all of that stuff is about the passion and the call of the leader. And it's important that we bring you on Maximize Your Life show, quality, relevant, practical, sometimes provocative information to make you go, I really need to rethink what I think. I need to rethink what I do. I need to rethink how I live. I need to rethink how I even lead. And so I'm excited because we're going to be having our special guest, Mr. Charlie K. V. Collins, coming on in a few at 8 o'clock. And so I should be surrounded by the young people today. And it's a blessing because usually 2 to 3 times a year I have the opportunity of coaching and training the young students who are part of the Student Government Association at Livingstone College. And as you know, usually our first 30 minutes is just talking from the heart what I believe the audience will need to build you up in life and in leadership. And then the second part is usually having a guest on. And I just believe that it's going to be very impactful once he comes on and the young people give their input in terms of what they've received from the Morrell Brown Incorporation. And so I'm excited, Dr. Ron. I'm excited. I'm looking at the clock. It's already 7:08. So because we are long-winded, I want to get into talking about how do you level up your leadership skills? How do you, as once you identify yourself as a leader, how do you begin to increase the skills that you have? Again, looking at your talents, saying, what am I good at? What do I have an aptitude to do? What is my talent? Is my talent singing? Is it dancing? Is it writing? Is it leading? Is my talent pushing everybody else as an administrator and conceptualizing policies, procedures, and forms? And once you can identify that, then you say, what are my abilities? Which is very similar. Looking at your abilities and making that determination, ability to me is capability. It's the aptitude to teach. For example, I am an educator. Before I became part of the Board of Education, I was educating in my community. I was organizing programs in my community, East New York, growing up. I saw a need. I saw a kid playing idly, really being a little self-destructive. And I turned around to my friend, Sharon, at that time, and I said to her, we need to do something. And she looked at me, we, French. And then out of that concern, it was I identified a problem and saw that this is this young fella looking like he was bored and doing something against the building. And it disturbed me, but then I identified that there's a problem. He is bored. There isn't any activity that he can see at this moment. Therefore, what can I create? And out of that concern, and this is how leaders are built, when you can see a problem, identify the problem, and start thinking of solutions, and that sets your creative juices. So now you have the buzzword where people say, well, I'm a creative being, or I'm a creative. And that can be anything, but usually when you're creating, rather it's a program, when it came down to the computers, you had different ones who will start up thinking about how can we get computers in every home? How can we do work quicker? Because in our days, Dr. Ron, we had the word processors.
There you go.
Yeah, the word process. Yes, you had the typewriters, and we're just a plucking away. And for those that were in court, you had the stenographer machine. And but then the Gates and so many others started thinking, let's think about this chip. Let's think about and actually it was the computers was being used in armed services and things like that, and with government, so it's just not privy to the civilians. But they thought of how can we actually make this something that is personal, a desktop. And again, they look at what the problem is, and seeing that you made a mistake, you were able to, with some computers, you were able to correct those mistakes, and then other times you just really had like a sloppy paper as a secretary. And so again, identifying what problem really irks your nerve, gets on your nerve, and then you can start telling what you're gifted at. And then the gift goes to the point that I see that there's a problem, I'm passionate about it, it's really getting on my last nerve, but I want to provide a solution. And therefore, that leadership ability in you comes to bear, and you get a vision of solving that problem. And with leadership, it was really beautiful because, again, just without being in college, without learning about social work to identify a problem and then solve it, or what's the other thing, or learning about psychology, why does this person behave the way they do, and how can I provide a solution to problems in families? Way before all of that training, it was already innate in me. And so what I'm saying to you today, MacFam, right, Maximize Your Life Show, that it is time for you. You don't have to necessarily go to school, but you go to school to hone in on those skills that you already identify that you have, and they help you to fine-tune it and to make you better at what you already have the aptitude to do. With leadership, you provide guidance. You provide direction and authority and control and management. And when I think of those years of just doing community service, which I'm still into community services, I have my own program as well, the MPB, Family Development Center Incorporated. And ministry is service. Even MBI as a for-profit, it is a service that I give, and it's out of a passion to identify problems and seek solutions. And just to get a little bit more personal, when I worked at Newark Preschool Council in the headquarters department in Newark, New Jersey, I was in the social work department. And so all of that skill, all of that passion from really 30 years ago came to bear about 6 or 7 years ago, where we would, I was responsible for 19 centers in terms of helping family workers to identify the needs of parents and then helping them to seek those needs. And we helped them to identify goals that they wanted to reach in the areas what we call MD, medical, dental, employment, education. And at that time, they call it Program for Parents, which was a parent subsidy to help them pay for childcare. And my role was to coach and to train and to supervise and do appraisals and to support my family workers as they support families. And I learned a lot from that. And the family development program help us and trained us as well, especially those who had master's degrees like myself, to focus on social work. And so it's 7:15, Ron, and you know I can go on and on, but I want to hear from you. How can people level up their leadership skill, and what is leadership to you?
You know, leadership has many capacities in life. Yes. You know, when you're the oldest child of X amount of siblings, your mother says, you must watch your brothers and sisters, make sure they don't get into no trouble, you know. And that's a leader, you know what I'm saying? And that's honing on. That's developing leadership skills at a young age because you're taking responsibility. Leaders take responsibility. Leaders tend to be people of a certain kind of character. You know, leaders are, to me, leaders have a level of thinking that's a little deeper than the average person. You know, once you become a supervisor of a department and a corporation or wherever you work at, the first thing they tell you is that your job is to oversee this, that, and the other. Yeah. Your job is to make sure productivity. Your job is to make sure the morale, not reverend morale, but the morale of the employees is up. You know what I'm saying? That the characters are there, that everybody's running sufficiently, everything's being done properly. And so we tend to, when we take that leadership position, we tend to look at ways and means of finding out how to become a good leader. You start looking at books and whatnot and getting into, you know, shows like Life and Leadership Network with Reverend Morale, P. Brown, a.k.a. Coach Morale. So you start looking at different shows like that to find ways in which you can learn to be a leader. Leadership is bravery. I think leaders are brave. You know, it's not easy being responsible for something, whether it's your sisters and brother, whether it's a corporation, whether it's an apartment. I know when I was a hospital administrator and I was the head of the I was assistant to the system, but I was responsible for administrating the emergency room and overseeing nurses and doctors and patients. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to be hard because these people are intelligent. They know better than, you know. And my job was to learn my environment. My job was to make sure everything runs efficiently. If patients had any kind of concerns or any problems, my job was to resolve issues and things of that sort. I was on call, you know, things of that sort. And so I had to learn my leadership position. It's scary, but leaders tend to have the ability to absorb whatever it is, absorb the impacts of leadership. Leadership have a lot of impact.
Yeah.
You know, because you're out front.
It's been for
when
capacity.
When something goes wrong, exactly. Everybody's going to call you. So leadership starts with the ability to see things above and beyond its normality. Leadership is willing to go beyond the norm. Leadership is a person that's willing to get there early in the morning and be the last one to leave at night. Leadership is a person that's willing to make sure everything is done correctly. And leadership takes on a lot of different forms. Some people are natural leaders. You know, you'll find some brothers sometimes. My wife had to be the middle of four children, but she was a leader in her family because she did things that normally the older children would have done.
Her
mother would say, you know, she was like this little mother image, you know, taking care of everything, you know. And so that was natural. You know what I'm saying? She was a naturally mothering person. And I don't know where, you know, I don't know where the things come from, but that was natural for her. So some leadership abilities are natural. Some are acquired, but you have to have an interest. You have to want to do things right. You have to want to see things done right. You have to want to be a leader. Everybody's not going to be a supervisor because everybody's not interested in taking on the responsibilities. You know, when you take on the responsibility to have a department or something, there's a lot of responsibility involved in it. So good leaders are willing to fail as well.
That's powerful. Say it again. One more time, Ron, Dr. Ron.
Good leaders are willing to, have the ability to be willing to fail. You can't go in there and think, oh, yeah, I'm going to be perfect. Everything will be perfect. There got to be some failure. Because from failure, you learn. My father always said, if you have made mistakes in your life and you have learned nothing, then, you know, you just use the accident continuously waiting to happen. You know, that
true.
Was his thoughts. But there's so many things about leadership. There's so many things about skills. I believe that a lot of it, you bring certain things to the table and you enhance them.
Yes.
That's why you're a kid.
Ooh,
you,
like
you notice
that.
As
like
a teacher. As a teacher, you know this. Kids come into the classroom. Some kids are very enthusiastic. Some kids are very academic. Some kids are slow. You know, you have the different forms of kids. So it makes your job easier if little Johnny's enthusiastic and he's ready. He comes in the morning, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. He's ready to get going. Got all his little stuff packed up, all his little books out. He's ready for the lesson plan. He did his homework last night. He has the level of understanding of the of the teaching, of the academics, and he's an easy kid to deal with. Then there's that kid that he does not do the homework. He don't come on time. He's angry sometimes because he can't understand the homework, and he's a challenge, you know.
Right.
So you as a leader have to understand how to handle all your different students, the ones that
are
good.
Wow, you're talking like Dr. Vaughn.
Right, and they bring you an apple, and they say, oh, Miss Brown, I like you, you know.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, Miss Brown, there she come. Oh, my God. I wish I could get out of this class, you know.
Right.
And so you as a leader, especially with children, because they're impressionable, because they go through so many different emotions, because they are growing. And I think, and maybe you can tell, you can answer this better than anyone.
Uh-huh.
I think
the
younger the child, the more of the challenge of being a leader in that class and bringing those children to understanding certain things. They're, and I know the younger kids are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they're all interested, you know. Me, I want to answer it. I want to do it, you know. But there's a lot of challenges with that because these are minds that are open, they're growing, and then you have to make sure that they understand specific things. They do not absorb like an older child. They don't see things in the same perspective. And a lot of times there are academic challenges that is not really seen right at that minute. You have to sort of, as a teacher, find out what is really holding this kid back. And it could be several things that doing it. So I think that you know the first thing of a leader is a willingness to learn and willingness to fail and willingness to be a leader. You know, everybody don't want to. You know, everybody don't want to be. Oh, I don't want to be responsible. You know, they're gonna come after me. You know, I've been in work environments where guys were offered supervisory position. They're like, no, man, I don't. You know, I don't want to get involved with that because they're gonna fire me. And, you know, things like that. So it's one of those subject matters that take on many different aspects. But I think there's, you know, you can narrow it down to certain kinds of things. And environments take on their own leadership. A church leader, a pastor, different type of leader than a corporate, corporate profit making entity. You know, different from a president of a country. You know. It takes on different forms. But I think the first thing is that the leader have to want to be a leader. There has to be some kind of desire there, you know.
I believe that too, Dr.
I hope I didn't confuse people, you know.
No. You were really – well, I don't believe you did. That's just my opinion. Max Sam, you've been walking with us for the last 5 months. And we – even though we start out high tech, we break it down for you. And as we said, we're not here to show you how intelligent we are. We want to make sure that the information that we're getting you is bite-sized and chewable. So we don't give it. We're not going to give you everything about leadership tonight. That's not our goal, and that's not a good way of teaching. But just to give you a certain amount of nuggets, so that you can say, that went my palate. I want to go and find out more about the qualities of a leadership. What is the, as I said, tag, talents, abilities, and gifting, and how do you identify your tag, your talents, abilities, and gifts? And then when you begin to optimize, and I talked about this last week, the difference between optimize and maximize. Optimize is when you actually have lack of leadership training, because we're talking about that tonight, or lack of understanding your role. For example, if, let's just say, one of the most popular places right now, you get hired at Amazon. You know that you're a natural born leader, but you need to learn Amazon's way. Just like if you got hired at McDonald's, you need to actually be trained by McDonald's to learn how to flip those burgers and put them in the oven and all this other stuff and how long to keep them in there and how to speak to people. And I just believe that in life, and this is what we're bringing to you, relevant, very practical, transferable skills to make it simple for you, but for you to now say, how can I build on these topics that you get each week, and how can I maximize in life? And with maximization, it connotates or has the impression that you have everything you need. It's to make the most of your time, your resources, people, money, and things like that. And Dr. Ron, one thing you said that was, or many things you said that was so important, you talked about you have to have a willingness to learn or a willingness to even want to be a leader. Because what I found is, especially education, those who were teachers were pretty satisfied at being a teacher, but the assistant teacher never really, some of them, did not want to aspire to be a teacher. They saw that the teacher's role was, one, they're in that leadership role, and they have to prepare the lesson plan, and they will, when you get a good teacher, that teacher is either going to be up late at night with their children trying to navigate dinner, their own children's homework, and also, you know, with their husband or their boyfriend, and then, or they would get up early in the morning and come to school before the, well, the doors are open, but they come early while the janitor is there so that they can do their lesson plan. And then for certain schools, you needed to do your lesson plan an entire month, and your supervisors wanted to see it. So there were some, not all, there were some assistants who just say, I don't want to be a teacher. And then you'll have assistant pastors, they'll say, I'll assist you as a pastor, but I don't want to be the leader. I don't want people calling my house 24/7. I don't want the fact that I got to get the vision. But as a pastor, he gets the vision from God. As an imam, he will get that vision, or a priest, they will get the vision, and then they will cast that vision, tell the vision to their parishioner. When we're talking about Student Government Association, it is the vice president getting the vision based on the school's charter and the school's the Student Government Association, their bylaws. And then it's the president, and then it's the student activity director who is saying, this is where we want to go in terms of the entire year. But then they'll break it down perhaps to the semesters. And so as the VP, the president is getting the direction, then the VP will hone on into the vision and the direction of the president that's over the Student Government Association, and then they cast that vision to the body. They'll cast that vision. And so, you know, again, like you said, different types of leader and different types of situations. The bottom line is you want to be, once you decide, hey, I want to be a leader, then there are responsibilities in toward that leadership to get the skills if you don't have it. And then once you have the skills to be able to polish up those skills and surround yourself with other leaders. And you know, Dr. Ron, this is so interesting because you mentioned as far as the students, and yes, when I looked at,
yes,
it was just, I don't know, I guess just, you know, thinking, I'm always thinking, but I started going back and I said, you know, Ms. Brown, you've always been in education. And I was saying 18 to 20 years, but it's actually about 25 years. And,
wow.
Yeah, from family daycare to just regular babysitting, and then the Board of Education, and then with Newark Preschool Council as a supervisor. And so I'm just like, oh, my God, you really – and then, as I said earlier, starting my own program years ago, it was called AIM, Achievement, Improvement, Motivation. And so I've really come full circle. But the bottom line is there will be – as a teacher, what I've learned, they, like you said, Dr. Ron, and this is just piggybacking on what you said, that what you were saying was so correct and so true and so timely as a leader. As a leader, we, especially as an educational leader, you want to recognize when a child comes to school and they're not school ready, meaning they don't know how to spell their name, they don't know the colors, they don't know the shape, they don't know the alphabet. And then you, and a teacher, yes, the first thing, you know, especially when you have, say, 17 students in a class, if you're that fortunate not to have 20. And so if you have 15 to 17 students all in pre-K, and let's just say, ooh, gosh, 8 is prepared and the other 8 is not prepared. And usually with the pre-K, you will have perhaps 1 or 2 teachers. If you're fortunate, you'll have 2. And so you want to be able to assess that child through testing to see where they are and what level they're on. And I find that placing students who are doing really well and they're already school prepared and they've been ready by their parents, because as we said last week, parents are their child's first teacher. And they should come prepared, but unfortunately, just to keep it real, in terms of families, families are under attack, and it's almost like families are becoming endangered. Now, there are, you know, the caveat, families who are doing really well and they're strong, but then there are other infrastructures within families where grandmothers are raising grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and or it's a single parent in that home, and it can be father or mother, and they don't have all of the capacity and the time and the energy to really take out time with their children. And as I get ready to wrap up this part, the thing, and then we go into Q&A in a few minutes, is that you, as a leader, it was my responsibility to identify those students and meet their needs where they was. Identify leaders and then help to meet that need. And once you do that, or in a different realm, when you're talking about Student Government Association, understanding where each of your leaders are, your secretary, your treasurer, okay, understanding all of those roles and saying, how can I strengthen the area where they're weaker? And I believe we were conversating about that last week, is not, like, not necessarily looking at your weakness or where you need, but an area to improve and saying, okay, I see this area where I can become a better leader for pastors, an imam or a priest. I believe, let's just say hypothetically, right, for some pastors says, you know what, I really don't want to deal with the people, administrator or department heads, committee heads, you deal with that person, you know. But I believe that a good leader would always make sure that they have a relationship for the pastor with their members, the imam, you know, with the people who attend the mosque and with the priests, those that are your parishioners, that, or if you're in politics or civic group, you don't want to just move away from, I don't want to deal with the people. They're too stubborn or they're too hard-headed or, you know, they just know it all or whatever. You want to always get to that point where you allow, especially the most the person that really gets on your nerves, that's the one you want to surround yourself with up to a point, because they're going to help you and polish you in your leadership skill. And this is what we're talking about for Maximize Show, Maximize Your Life Show, leveling up your leadership, taking it to a whole different level, and you growing and always being willing to say, you know what, where can I improve, instead of focusing on where somebody else needs to improve. And at 7:34, Dr. Ron, we're doing really good. Do we have anyone that has texted in?
Oh, yes.
Or
Yeah, you got a packed house here. We're
excellent.
Gonna open up,
excellent.
We're talking about leadership skills, the opportunity to be successful in life, and you are with Coach Morale, and we're going to open up the mics to discuss leadership skills. We're going to open up 347-606. 347-606, your mic is open. Your mic is open. Maybe you're muted. Okay. Okay. 646-972. Oh, okay.
Okay,
all right.
Oh,
right.
Your
mic is okay. Your mic is open. Your mic is open.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, big brother, and the rest of the community? How's everybody?
Finding yourself. Who I have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Jakim. So I host the show on Thursday. Is Weekly Conversations, Neo Nation's Weekly Conversations with Jakim Diaz. Currently,
yes.
I'm
how are you today?
I'm fine. I'm actually having a luncheon or a dinner with Imam Askia Muhammad, or Dr. Imam Askia Muhammad, and I hope
yes.
to host him on the show this Thursday, along with my boss at the Catch and Grill that opens on Friday, who's actually
okay.
going to let us do presentations, and I just had a meeting with the Imam just now. So, yeah, it's a pleasure. I got to overhear just a little bit of what you were saying, because we
appreciate it.
We're actually waiting for the food, and we definitely are always inspired by, you know, strong sisters that are making some kind of improvement.
Well, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate it. Definitely. I'm going to check out your show this Thursday, providing is usually the day I spend with my mom after work. But, and check it out. And I think I've heard you before. Yes. Well, thank you for taking out the time. I really appreciate that while you're getting ready to chow down.
Yes. So, Reverend, what do you have on the agenda? Did you want me to share something with everybody or what?
Well,
you
know what?
Job.
I'm sorry. What did you say? Was that Dr.
No,
Ron?
No, I was just saying that, you know, Morale, you were having discussions on leadership. And so Quan discussed that, and I think that was a great job. That was specifically
right.
Yeah,
thank you so much, and I do appreciate that. Yeah, what we're doing is like it's Q&A basically, you know, and we have some other people that we're going to hear from, but we have a packed house. You know, once again, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, I just wanted to just leave you something before I do chow down.
Okay.
Leadership in the community among women are going to be very, very important towards the establishment of a community of our own, because I'm still learning this myself, and something that was, you know, more revelation to me is that you guys are the nurturers of the community, being the understanding the baby, and that's the only way to truly nurture a community on up. The ones that have the insight to take the babies and maximize their potential are the mothers, and you know, us as fathers have to be insightful and supportive and strong, and it's going to definitely take a collective effort to build our community, but the biggest effort is from sisters doing what you're doing right now.
Well, thank you so much. Wow, that was very powerful. I like that. So basically, it takes a village.
Yes, it takes a village.
Wow. That's good. Wow. And you know, as Dr. Ron said earlier, it really starts in home. You start identifying who is that leader, who is actually taking, well, put it this way. I remember my best friend, she was doing most of the cleaning in her family. And then you see her now, she runs a daycare. She was doing the cooking. she started out saying she wanted to have 12 children. She has 5. But so she was always feeling that empowerment to lead. So thank you so much. I do appreciate it. And have a great time today.
You're welcome. I'll see you on the show Thursday.
Sounds good.
Okay, we're going to open it up, 646-972. You're on with Coach Morale talking about leadership.
Yeah, this is Shelly. I'm just calling just to show support, but basically, how you doing?
Fine, and you?
I'm all right. How you doing, Coach Morale? Robinson, everybody. To be brief, I think
if you could talk a little louder.
Yeah, I was going to say to be brief. That in my definition, leadership, man, I've seen a lot of leaders, and I've seen a lot of good leaders. The most leaders, the best leaders I've ever seen were the ones who didn't want to become leaders.
Wow.
And those are the best examples of leaders that I've ever seen, because they were able to communicate to the people and understood that they were chosen. And they became, they knew that they it was like they didn't want the position, So it's like they became leaders, but they looked at themselves as servants to the people. So it's
I
like
see.
They placed compassion and for people more than the position. So they they weren't positioning themselves for fame, but they were they were just basically happy to be servants and vessels to just basically be vessels of positive motivation, being able to guide and communicate and mentor and basically try to keep the community together. And so, so that they can work towards reaching a goal. But overall, I think leadership is one of those things that sometimes people place emphasis on different levels of leadership. And I think that everybody is a leader. As long as they don't try to become someone else and they just basically take care of the little things. Take care of the little things and you become a leader. You know, you could be a leader with just being a good usher, a good person that shows courtesy. Mm-hmm. That's leadership, being humble, being able to be respectful, being able to, you know, so, you know, that's all I wanted to share with you. Thank you for sharing the topic on leadership. And there's a lot to learn about leadership, and I thank you for even allowing me to even reflect on my ability to be a leader and how to become a better leader. So thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. It's always good to have you. I'm so proud of you, young men, just for a lot of just hurdles that you've overcome. And now you are realizing that through all of the things that you went through, that now you can actually look back on the good, bad, and the indifferent and say, you know what? What can I learn from that? And now that I've overcome, how I can accept the leadership role, because like you said, some leaders, they're like, oh, and Dr. Ron mentioned that earlier. You're like, wait a minute, I don't want to be this leader, because biblically they said those who are teachers, they sit in a greater judgment, meaning people are looking at you as a leader and they are waiting for the leader to fall. They're waiting for the teacher to mispronounce her words or his words. You know, they're looking for the imam to fall. They're looking for that pastor or that priest, or they're looking for the civic leader, or even for dad or mom. Oh, mom, I thought you didn't make any mistakes in life. Oh, that happened to you when you were doing that? So, you know, as you're saying, is we want to introspect, retrospect, and reflect so that we can be better leaders and understand our role. So thank you so much, and definitely have a great night. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're on with Coach Morrell. We're talking about leadership skills and developing leadership skills. And definitely, I want to repeat our true theme today is use your ability to achieve maximum impact. And I just want to reemphasize that. We're going to open up 347-313. Your mic is open.
Hello, hi. My name is Samantha.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm sorry, your name again?
Oh, Samantha. How are you?
Hey, Samantha. How are you?
I know that person.
Did you say Robinson?
Yes, I did.
Did you say Robinson? How do
I know Mr. Reverend Robinson?
Yes.
That's my uncle. Hi, Uncle Ronnie.
Oh, that's so nice.
Hello.
That's so sweet.
So I just wanted to piggyback off of what you guys were saying about leadership, because I was definitely taking notes as you guys were speaking. And
thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. One thing that I've recognized in my position, I'm now an operations manager with 5-in-1 Consulting Group.
Great.
And at first, I was scared. I couldn't get it together. And one thing I learned was delegation. So a lot of times when we're in, I mean, for me, I'm not going to say it for anybody else, but when you're a leader, you think you have to do everything perfect and it has to be done by you because you were chosen in this position. But learning to delegate and focus on people's strengths rather than focus on weakness is something that's really powerful. Also, something that I noticed with our young men is the confidence to be able to lead. I think a lot of times I forget about how much how great they are in their capacities and how much they've overcame and how they were ordained in these positions. You know what I mean? So
I just wanted
to say that. And that was pretty
Samantha, thank you so much. That was great. Yes, yes. I like that because, again, it's about, you know, I thank God. I mean, especially, my goodness, the breath of fresh air in terms of females being recognized for who they are and coming to the forefront, especially in these last, I would say the year, because they didn't just start it, you know, when it was time for elections. They were sitting in the boardrooms and, you know, perhaps, you know, at Panera's Bread in different places talking and strategizing. But like you also said, we have to remember the men and that they have the capacity and they've had the capacity. And so this is good. Thank you so much, Samantha. Continue to call in and glean, you know, just from, again, the skills and the conversations. And thank you for taking notes. Y'all heard that, Max Fam?
Yes, okay.
I am so proud of you, Samantha.
Yes, you'll be able to go back to it because sometimes
exactly,
we always
right. Yes, anytime I'm talking to your uncle, I have my book open. He don't be knowing that, but I'll say to him, Dr. Ron, I'm taking notes. I take advantage of just his wisdom and things like that. And no, he didn't pay me, Samantha.
But when you're younger, you realize like, oh, you know, that's your uncle, but you don't realize what he means to the world. And I think that's the important thing that he should always remember. Like I know him as that's Uncle Ronnie, but he's somebody that people look to and look for. So it's a pleasure
they really
to
do.
Watch that show. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Guys so much.
And I'm learning from his leadership skills, you know, so I appreciate you.
Yes.
Now you're going to make me cry. Y'all going to get me to cry now.
This is so sweet. Oh, good leaders leveling up.
Yes.
Their family and their personal life. So listen, before we start crying, we have anybody else? Thank you, Samantha.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. We have, quite obviously, you got the text messages as well.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. You have here... Elizabeth Cunningham from Dayton, Ohio, and she says a teacher, and she's a mom of three young children, pre-K, she said pre-K age, and she wants to know, how do you instill leadership into your children at that young, tender age?
Wow, that's a great question, and you talked about it. Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling in. Dayton, Ohio's in the house. What is so important is that you observe your children. And this is what we've been trained to do as educators, even really as ministers, just civic people in the community, is to observe people. So observe each of your children. You can even, pen and paper, you know, and you're watching them. You're watching who's actually taking leadership. You're also watching those who are most generous and more caring, and as someone mentioned earlier, being nurturing, and that's what you're doing as a mom. You're looking at your child, and you're not necessarily judging them. You're just looking to observe, and then you write down what you see, and then there are some children where the reality is, and I know most people may not think this, but when I was younger, I didn't talk a lot. I didn't really talk a lot at all, and I was very quiet. I was the ace. As I was looking at the different numbers of, I come in as the ace child of 10. And so I was, you know, I was at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. And so you don't want to just always judge externally to say, okay, this person is quiet, so they'll never be a leader, you know, because God will just surprise us and make you laugh. But observe your child. And then also when I'm thinking of with pre-K, and I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, from pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, children are cleaning up in their room. So when you think that your little baby, you know, little Johnny and little Jessica can't clean their room, they can. It's just a matter of modeling that behavior. For example, you're cleaning in the kitchen, and you just leave the pots like that. Guess what? You're teaching your child
how to leave things the way it is and not put it back in place. But the minute you model that, then you can give your child just a little chore and see how they would do. It's about expectation, observing, expecting, and modeling. And then from there, create the environment for that child. Give them a space where they will have a desk and they'll have their kitchen set, and you'll see them act out the different behaviors. For example, in the dollhouse, you will see a little girl, let's just say Jessica, she likes to play, and she likes, I'm the mommy. She doesn't want to be the child. She, no, I'm the mommy, because she knows that mommy has a leadership role. And then you just watch certain roles that they'll select. You may have Jennifer says, look, I don't want to be the mommy. I'm the baby. And that person wants to be cared for and wants to be nurtured. And that's how you start looking at where they are. And then you set up the apartment, you set up the room, you set up your house, you set up your backyard, and you create that space for them. And then you look at programs in your community or in the school that will enhance those particular tags, talents, abilities, and gifting. So thank you so much, Elizabeth. I heard that that has helped you.
Okay, great, great, great. You have Diane Moore from Nutley, New Jersey. She says she has a son. He's 10 years old. He's been, you know, diagnosed, I guess, or with attention disorder. He has emotional roller coasters. He's not very friendly with a lot of children. He don't play well with kids. So she want to know, how does she horn in on the ability to get him to be a leader, or, you know, to focus on things in which that would help him become a leader? Or is it necessary for him to become a leader, or just necessary? This is her question. Is it necessary for him to become a leader, or is it necessary for him to overcome the circumstances that he's dealing with right now?
Yes, yes. He is actually, thank you so much, Dr. Ron, for that question. And thank you, Diane, for calling in. Nutley, New Jersey. I lived in Jersey for a bit. The thing about children with special needs, and I talked about this last week, and is that as a certified teacher in special education and having been in classroom where you would have students who are what they call learning challenges or emotional challenges or behavioral challenges, and then there were others who had the physical challenges. And then sometimes when it came down to the cognitive challenges, such as a child with autism. So I've dealt with the different spectrums, and it is important. It goes right back to what I talked about before, observing your child. You are, Diane, your child's first teacher, and you've observed, apparently, your child at 10 years old, some of these challenges, and then you sought out the social connection, the professionals, to help give you language for this. And then also language helps you when he's tested to give you resources as well. And now your role is to, again, focus on the child's his strength. Acknowledge the weaknesses, but do not, well, let me say it in the affirmative. Build him up. Build him up in what you see him trying to do. Let's just say, for example, emotional, right? That's one of the hardest ones, and we don't like to talk about that. However, once you realize that your son can go, say, from 0 to 10 in a second, what you can do is, and just say to him, right, hey, I want you to focus on the capacity to not just have the emotional outburst. What I want you to do is use your words and talk about what it is you're feeling. If you're angry, say, you know, Mom, I am angry. Before you start tantruming, or if you're throwing things down, and have him to express himself before he goes from 0 to 10. And then once you see that he's done that, then reward him some type of way. Now, some people say, well, you know what? You're bribing the kid. No, you're not bribing the kid. It's actually, it's more like you're telling them, I want you to behave this way, have less frequency of outbursts, and when they achieve that, you are rewarding them because now they have to think about it. They're going to think about, I would like to get that gift, and that this is the way I should be behaving. I should have more patience. I should not just have an emotional outburst. And they start looking forward to that. And then you pat them on the back and have stars and stickers and all of that stuff that you can give your child. Or say if you get 10 stickers, let's just say for the entire week, then at the end of the month, we'll go and our back of the next is Dave and Buster or New Jersey. They used to have, Fun Time America out in Middlesex County. And, you know, whatever he likes to do, you use that as a way to reward him and celebrate his efforts. And then, you know, so that's with the emotional. And actually, once he starts doing that, you can also transfer it into getting his homework done in a timely manner. Or in terms of his outlook on life, building his self-esteem. So I think, I hope that helps. What I will say is, please give me a call, 862-205-9077. Give me a call. I'm going to say it again, 862-205-9077, so I can give you additional strategies, all right? I do have coaching program where I can help coach you. We're going to be starting our academy soon via Zoom, giving parents strategies. And so please, you know, even to help you and to build you up where you can, first of all, maximize in this situation. And then you can also be a leader and help other parents. Okay. So thank you so much, Diane. I do appreciate your call, your text.
Great. You also have Martin Redford from Des Moines, Iowa. And he's saying, in terms of teaching leadership skills, let's say, I guess he's saying that if there's a child that necessarily do not want to engage in type of leadership skills or leadership positions or, you know, being a leader, the child is that of that quality, what else can you do to encourage that child to be the best person that they could be?
Yes. It's interesting because thank you, Mr. Rifford, for that that question, because and I thought about it when I finished talking to Diane, is that to in my opinion, is focusing on that child's self-esteem for themselves, for the sake of the fact that they've been born, they've been endowed with great capacity to be a human being and to be the best human being that they can be, as opposed to saying, I want you to be a leader. What happens is, and as I said to you, if people, and I'm sure they judge me, you know, between 0 and 10 years old, I was not in their book slated as a leader. I really wasn't, you know, and it's okay. However, I had the capacity because I was quiet and I observed. And I didn't do a lot of talking, and I really still don't do a lot of talking in public. I talk when it's necessary, and when it, especially if there's a crowd. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Let's focus on your son first being who he is, looking at, again, his talents, his gifts, and his abilities, and then providing the environment for him to thrive. And then later on, as you start seeing, because you start providing opportunities, for example, just going into the store, allowing him, giving him the money, having him make the list of what, perhaps even the grocery or something like that, and then hand him the money and then let him hand it to the salesperson, and then let him count the change. All of those types of activities allow the kids to lead and to say, oh my God, my dad, trust me. And then even if he gets it wrong, you're building up his confidence to say, I can actually do this one day. Dad takes out his credit card. Oh, wow. Okay. And then, you know, at the end of the month, when it's time to pay that bill back, you could even say, son, let's sit here. Look, remember when I went shopping and say you brought a bike or something like that? Guess what? Now I need to pay that back. And you start showing, you start modeling leadership to your child as opposed to saying, be a leader, because as you as a dad, you inspire your child, you empower your child. It's also sharing the vision of life with your child. So I hope that that has helped you. So just focus on them being who they are and giving them the opportunities in leadership skills. Thank you so much.
Great, great. Your special guest is here as well.
Excellent. Yes.
We're doing good
with time. Yes.
All right, wonderful. Okay, you want to bring on Mr. Charles K.V. Collins?
Yes, we can.
Stone College Student Government Association. And we're going to talk about leveling up your leadership skills. Let's give them a nice hand and welcome in. Oh, come on, people. Don't go to sleep now.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Mr. Charlie K.V. Collins. Woohoo!
Yes, ma'am.
Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. Welcome to the Maximize Your Life show. I'm excited. You know I am.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. You know, it's interesting because as I was just taking a look at, you know, communicating with the leaders at Livingstone College and inviting them on, I went on some of the Facebook page and I was like, oh my God, these guys are just coming back from Savannah State University. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but what we were going to do as when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. And what I want to do is to just advertise, you know, our services and our programs. And then we're talking about leveling up your leadership skills. And what I want to switch it to is the qualities of a leader. And, you know, that's one of my favorite topics. And then you will tell us about yourself. So let's just, Dr. Ron, we'll pause it. And
Okay.
Mr. Collins. Yes, yes.
Okay. We'll have a commercial break.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is my own announcements tonight.
Okay, great.
Yes. So, all righty. Morrell Brown Incorporated is a consulting and training company. Our mission is to teach, train, and equip leaders in the nonprofit and for-profit sector to achieve their goals. Our transformative team has over 40 years of combined experience and organizational training and staff development. Our company has supported leaders by providing over 3,000 hours of result-oriented training, group facilitation, consultation, coaching, and project management. Are you looking for a company to plot your organization's next move or to transform your organization's workplace practices, making them more effective? We are passionate about disseminating information to facilitate growth and as a result, cause a paradigm shift to maximize human potential. To this end, ladies and gentlemen, we enter into partnership to identify and exceed our clients' need. Our consultation and training are designed for frontline workers in ministry, education, healthcare, human services, life coaching, law enforcement agencies, utility companies. When your mission is to reach your full potential, we will align our subjects to meet and identify your needs. So give us a call, 862-205-9077. Again, 862-205-9077. Or visit our website, www.morelle Brown, INC.com. Again, that's www.morel, M as in Morel, O-R-E-A-L-E, Incorporated, which is only I-N-C, .com. Thank you so much. Look forward to hearing from you all. And Mr. Collins, woo, I'm excited. So, Mr.
Yes,
Collins,
ma'am.
I had the pleasure of meeting you, and I believe that the first training I may have had with you was that in, I know I did one in September, but then you were also on the training in February of 2021. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. I was at both of them.
You were at both of them. Excellent, excellent. And there's two things. What I want to accomplish tonight is talking about where you are and your leadership skills and your responsibility as the VP of the Student SGA, right? Student Government Association, Living Stone. Tell us a little bit about that role. Tell us about your professional role or your personal role as far as your business. And because we're going to highlight that another time, but I still want them to know that, let them know that, hey, what you're doing, and I saw some of your videos. And and then we'll talk about your superpower. That's really what it is. And then we'll get into how my training has helped you as a leader.
Yes, ma'am. Again, my name is Charlie Chris Vance Collins. I am a junior at Livingstone College. I currently serve as the Student Government Association Vice President underneath the Wade Collins administration. The president is Justin Emmanuel Wade, under the advisor of Mr. Anthony Brown.
Excellent.
My role is the VP. As VP, I handle all of the, I'm serve as the food committee board to make decisions about the food at Livingstone College. Sit down with the president and many others of his board to try to find ways to help the student body get to another level that Livingstone wanted to reach. So that's what I serve as. And also just being the ear, being the voice for my student body. That's my job. That's my number
one
job.
Him.
To be the
yes.
voice for my student body. There's so many that people that need something, but that's what they voted me as the VP to do. To do their work for them. So I'm there for the people.
I like that. Wow, that's great. That's great. So you represent the people. It's not about, oh, Mr. Collins showing off his skills, but it's being able to talk with the students and finding out, again, going right back to the basics of social work, identify the need and then
yes.
seek to problem solve and meet that need. Wow. And you mentioned the food committee?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wow. And that, I mean, you know, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes you find students complaining about the food, you know,
yes.
the menu.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's a very important role. My goodness. Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Gee. So let me ask you this question. In that role, how do you navigate interfacing and interacting with, As you said, there's a visionary, you know, of Livingstone and the president, and then there's your student director, Mr. Anthony Brown, and who is my nephew, and then you have of course, like you said, Mr. Justin, who is the president, and hopefully he'll call in tonight, and as well as your secretary, your treasurer. How do you professionally navigate what the students need is based on what the bylaws are saying? Because sometimes, you know, love young people, was young myself, but sometimes they may not understand that there are policies and procedures that you must follow. You know, it's like, yeah, you want to have, let's just say, fried chicken once a week, but can, you know, do they have that in the budget, those type of things. So how do you navigate all of that?
Thanks for that question. So we would navigate it by looking at the books, first talking to the
yeah.
students, see what the students would like to see, what they would like to have. And we'll take that to our president. Me and President Wade, we'll take it to our president, which is Dr. Jimmy R. Jenks,
yeah.
Sr., the 12th president at Livingstone College. We will sit down with him and his administration, and we'll talk it out.
and we'll figure out a strategy on how we can cater to the students. It may not be exactly what the students want, but it's something that we can afford, and something that Livingstone College, we can do to help the student body. So we take their consideration, we take their opinions and their concerns into consideration, but we also talk about it. It's not just me making my mind up. It's a higher authority that we have to go through, and we take it seriously to try to get the student's need fulfilled.
Wow, that's good. That's good. And it sounds like just that itself, teamwork. You know,
yeah.
I believe it was John Maxwell, teamwork makes the dream work. And that you are not an entity by yourself. You know, even though you have this superpower to navigate and to be that vice president, but as you said, you take those matters to your president, and as well as, you know, the one and only illustrious, you know, Dr. Jimmy Jenkins, and to be to say, what can we do, and, you know, can the budget meet those needs? That's very powerful. That's really good.
Yes,
and we talked about several times in my training in terms of developing the winning qualities while you're using your superpower. What other, you know, leadership qualities would you say it takes to be who you are and to exemplify positive leadership skills in what you do?
One superpower that I would say you would need is listening. Listening is a huge superpower. People think you don't need it, but that's very useful, listening. We get called up to a certain time, everybody want to speak, but everybody don't want to listen. It's a time that you have to sit down and listen to the people and listen to your president and listen to the other people to figure out what are their ideas, what would they like to do? How can you input, how can you add on to what they got instead of just trying to take over theirs? You can add on to it and make it better than what they saw and then what you saw, and it become better than what you expected overall. So if I could say just listening would be a big one for me.
Wow, that's so true, because I was talking to someone earlier, and I said, even, you know, with me having my own show, and I do have the opportunity to come on another show, usually on Wednesdays, Christian Fellowship Council, their radio station with Willie Saunders, and so my mother will say to me, talk and then cut it. And this is true. You know, even till today, my mother coaches me when I'm getting ready to do training for you guys. My mother, I'll read it to her, and she actually critiques me, and she's, you know, and I'm 57 years old. So what you're saying is being able to listen and then pause, be quiet, and then hearing the other individual. And then not only just saying, this is what I want to say, and you come up with a whole different conversation, but you're able to add on what your other counterpart, your other peers are saying, your other leaders are saying. I believe that is one of the strongest points, you know, Mr. Collins. Really, I do. Wow, that's good. That was good. And if you were to think about a leader in your community or a leader in your school, you know, who would that be? You know, lead, you know, just a global leader or a personal leader?
A leader, if I can give you three, I have three leaders that I look up to in my life. First one is my father, my dad.
Oh, wow.
My dad
awesome.
Has been my dad and my mom. I would count them as one because they're married. They've been a huge role in my life, showing me how leaders go. My dad was a former pastor. Now he's a co-pastor. So I've seen leadership from him. And then the next person would be my godfather, the pastor, Linston Strayhorn III, my pastor now, which my family is under him. He's my godfather.
Yes.
He showed me leadership. And then the next one would be my very own advisor, Mr. Anthony Brown himself, coming to Livingstone College as a young student, don't know that much about school or students, about the SGA, Student Government Association, for him to show me how and to know my worth when you can't even know your own worth, but somebody else sees it inside of you, for him to mentor me and mold me into what I am today. That's the three leaders that I honestly have in my life that shows me the definition of leadership.
Wow, that's powerful. I love it. And you know, as we had parents earn just on a little early, and then others who are texting. It's interesting because like Elizabeth and Diane and Mr. Redford, you know, they're concerned about their children and by right, because, you know, God has given them those children and they are responsible, you know, as our other callers were saying earlier, to nurture the baby, that it's the mother who nurtures the baby, and mm-hmm. it's that dad, you know, who's insightful and follow the plan of mom, because she usually spends most time with the children personally. And so, like you said, your father, your mother, and going right back to education, going back to the hierarchy of life, that it is the parent. They are their child's first teacher. And so I really kudos to you. And then also bringing back to when I said, write down two or three good qualities. And your former your dad was your former pastor, and that now your godfather and Mr. Brown. And it's true, because Ron and I, we talked about this a little earlier, in terms of leaders being able to see a quiet child, that quiet child has leadership qualities in them. And, you know, I've had like several mentors throughout my life. And when I think of one person, you know, she's no longer living. She just passed this year, Susie Hibbler, in terms of recognizing and my leadership skills and encouraging me to work on as a volunteer. And I thank God I got paid. we had the convention, and where we were based in New York at Tabernacle of Prayer, and then we had delegates. We went to Washington. Yeah, we would go to Washington D.C. and you'll have people sending in their money to register and their plane, you know, their fares and stuff like that, a hotel. And I worked on that, and that was like my first role with church administration. And like you said, when she begins to say, I'm going to get somebody that's quiet, I'm going to get someone that's not really doing a lot in the church, in addition to being on the choir, I want to give her an opportunity. And so, like you said, there's Mr. Brown, you know, who is the student activities director at Livingstone College, and, you know, he is my nephew. And so to have people that can identify, like you said, even when you didn't have that confidence, that's what a leader is all about. Wow, that is powerful. That is so powerful. And it's so interesting, because sometimes we think young people is only looking at, and now that I did a little bit more research at Nas, or, you know, looking at the most outrageous, Justin Bieber or whomever, you know, yes, God bless them, strengthen them, and what they do and who they are, and I'm always praying for them. But, you know, for you to have, at your parents, that's powerful. That's really powerful. Yes, oh my goodness. Is there anything that do you want to just hit on your business that you have as a leader, as a business leader? We can touch that a little bit, and then we'll get into, you know, the program.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do have a business. It's called Slaggy C Brand. It's a clothing line, a Christian clothing line. We're not moving right now. We're in a standstill. Okay. We're rebuilding.
Okay.
We should be coming back out in January, sometime in January. I'm working with a bunch of my team. I have a team.
Yes.
When I started, I was by myself. It worked to a certain extent, but now I have a team that is working better than what I expected. And now it's not just me making decisions; it's my team making decisions for me,
because
I have a lot of things on my plate right now. So I have people making decisions for my brand that's working for me and working for the brand. When we come back out, we're gonna be up and moving. The brand is we have an Instagram. The brand is called Swaggy C Brand, Swaggy SwaggyCBrand. Swaggy C Brand on Instagram. Go follow, go look at our stuff. We got some old merchandise that we can sell, but right now it's not making no new merchandise. And also, you can follow my personal page on Instagram. It's I am Charlie K. V. Collins. I am IamCharlieK, as in Kevin, V as in Vance, Collins, Collins. I am Charlie K. Vin Collins on Instagram.
That's great. I'm telling you, I am so proud of you. I had the pleasure of substituting in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system for 5 years. And the reality is some people think, well, it depends. For me, I was working like every day. So it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't working. I was working every day. Because by the grace of God, I am gifted and I'm good at what I do, and I wanted to be there. And there were young fellas just like yourself, Mr. Collins, who were in the sneaker business, and almost to a point where I was like, oh, I need to take a look at the sneaker business. And then they were learning business. They were learning marketing. There were others who were good with art. And I was just so excited about being around them because they were young and they didn't wait till they get out of high school to start business. And so with you, what's so powerful as a leader, and I believe that's where I'm at in business as well, is that taking it from the solopreneur, you know, there's the word entrepreneur, so from just being by yourself, and then you have a vision, but then when you, and I saw your t-shirt in terms of, matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, but also on Facebook, that you have various colors. You have your cats as well. And I was like,
yes,
oh, man, you had your music. I was like, you know what? I want to be like Mr. Collins when I grow up. So I'm so proud of you and Dee Dunns and so many that are helping you and helping to propel you, because that's what leadership is about, saying, you know what? I have the capacity to take this business for so far. But when I want to go from optimizing, right, not having enough money for t-shirts, not having enough staff, not having enough ideas or having more ideas, but not having all the resources you need or the space, but saying, now I want to maximize. And that's why I like going from, and we taught this, you know, I taught this a couple of months ago, from the optimization to the maximization. And when you can acknowledge that as a leader, that you're being limited, and then like you, we talked about, Dr. Ron, we talked about this, where failure is really like a reset. Years ago, when I was coming up and Dr. Ron was coming up and the parents that are on this line, we thought failure was the last thing you want to do. But now we're realizing that they have this thing called fail forward, right? Make the mistake, but learn from it and say, what can I do better and how can I improve? And and what you're saying, Mr. Collins, in leadership, when you can acknowledge that, you will always be moving, you know, you'll always be static. You won't be stagnated. And that's what I'm like thinking. Yeah, you'll always be moving and you'll always be changing. And so that's really great. Wow. This is good. So we're doing pretty good here. Is there anything else you want to share about yourself? Because we will be, we will be having you on, and you know, prayerfully you'll come on regular and things like that. But we'll talk about that behind the scenes. But is there anything that you or anybody you want to say thank you to at this point?
I just want to thank you to my family, Livingstone College. Thank you to Mr. Brown, my parents, my pastor, my family and friends, everybody that put something in me that God has just put in my life. I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank you for the opportunity of letting me come on today. That's a blessing in itself. Thank you for what you do.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Others. So thank you. And that's about it.
Yes. Okay. Good. So now what we'll do is we'll segue into talking about the weekend. Woo! The Savannah State University.
Yes,
wow. Many colleges, HBU, right? Oh, man.
Ma'am.
The way did this converge in Savannah, Georgia?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Ron. Over this weekend, oh, my God, even the Savannah News, they covered it. And it was the National Association of Student Affairs Professionals. It was their 24th annual leadership. My God, tell me about that.
So Livingstone, with the help of Mr. Brown and the administration at Livingstone College, they allowed 12 of our student leaders to go to Savannah State for NASAP.
We left on Wednesday. We left Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yes, ma'am. We left Wednesday last week, and we got there.
That's great.
We got there. It was the storm was going on, and we got there a little about 8 o'clock. That's when the first session started. And ever since then, we got back Monday afternoon. And the whole good couple of days, it was a great experience to be with other student leaders. Being around them, learning from them, taking different ideas from that they use at their school, that you use at your school to give them ideas to work with them, how they can get better, what you're not good in, they good in, what you good in, they not good in. So you pitching each other ideas. They had so many great advisors doing so many workshops with us, teaching us different things. Mr. Brown did a workshop for students. Yes, ma'am, he did. So it was a lot of student leaders. It was a lot of advisors teaching us and making us be better leaders. So when we come back to school, we'll be better leaders than what we was before.
Wow, that is great. Oh, my goodness. I was so excited. I was like, oh, wow, look at them. Look at my students, my mentees.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, man, I tell you, that's fascinating because, you know, going back to that village in terms of the president saying, hey, we're going to, look, it starts from really a vision to make our Student Government Association better. And how do we do that? By surrounding them, the constellation, with other leaders to learn and to glean from and have these workshops. I mean, and then, you're going to have Mr. Brown under that leadership in terms of the responsibility of getting you there. And I saw some of the photos that you took and the outfits for the girls and the suits for the guys, all of that. But, again, it was powerful because I saw the unity. You know, you had others, you know, Desmond and different ones taking photos and videos and things like that. It was just powerful. I really felt proud because I'm saying, hey, I am helping in their development and look at where they are. I mean, you're talking about how many colleges were there?
30. It was a total of 30.
Wow, 30.
And on the record, I would like to say all 30 had at least three or more to their party. So think about it.
Oh,
it was like
wow.
almost 500 students in that building.
Uh-huh.
That's vaccinated.
Oh, my goodness. 500
students that was vaccinated plus survivors. That's unbelievable.
Yes. That's powerful. Mr. Collins, it's so interesting yes, it is. You know, now here's the other thing, right? When you're talking about, and this goes back to leadership, 500 students in one building. Did anybody start a fight?
Ma'am?
Anybody started fighting?
Yes, ma'am. No,
huh?
Ma'am. It was no food. I'm sorry. I was walking back in. Could you ask me
that again, please? That's okay.
Could you ask that question again, please?
Okay. Was there any fights?
No, ma'am. There was no fighting at all. There was none but love.
Wow.
You
so you mean young
you
people can get together?
Yes, ma'am.
And be about their business and leadership.
Yes, ma'am. When I say during the day it was leadership, but at night it was a lot of fun. That's when you had a chance to hang out without your advisors and you just to hang out with them. And I'm a part of a fraternity. I'm a part of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated.
Yes.
There was so many fraternities there. And
Greek
unity was great.
Yeah,
like just because they wasn't
good.
In your fraternity, but they still show you love, and it was a love between everybody at that event. So it was nothing. It was no fighting going on. It was more as love. It was like a family reunion.
See?
You haven't seen your uncle in a long time. It was like that.
Yeah, right, right.
And most of my friends, now we keep up with each other. Yes.
That's good.
So now,
we just got
back Monday, right? So now my VPs, we have a group chat with my VPs all over, and everybody else, we got group chats. We saying we can't wait to go back. We miss each other.
Yeah.
How much we love each other. And that's how we feel right now, because we miss everything about it, because it was that you had that energy of love surrounding.
Right. I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, because sometimes young people get a bad rap. And so to me, I'm the biggest advocate for young people in terms of, you know, having worked at Mallet Creek High School for the 2 years And most of my nieces and nephews, I think, let me see, the youngest is about 22. You know, we have nieces and nephews, there's 23 altogether. Anthony is one of them. And I get to still pour into their lives. And that's, to me, what coaching, personal development is all about, the workshop facilitating and the mentoring is about pouring into the next generation. And, you know, as I said to Dr. Ron earlier, the Morrell Brown Incorporated is about identifying people's their strengths and their talents and their abilities and their gifting and helping them to make positive impact in life. So I am so proud, you know, that you all, you went, you came back, and now, like you said, you're building stronger relationships, and that's what leadership is about. There's one more thing. It's 8:30. We're going to get ready to open up the lines in about 5 minutes. But tell me about the Morrell Brown Incorporated. This is the time I get to brag on myself. Yes, I said it, as they say. No shame right now to promotion. But what you've been in my trainings two particular times, and so just tell me a little bit about the training. Were my trainings, the MBI, my corporation, were those trainings relevant to you?
Yes, ma'am, they was. They was very helpful. Being in when Mr. Brown do our when he do our leadership retreats, he normally invites you because you help encourage the students. And you do a very great job encouraging us to make us want to do better, how to be a winning team, not just win by yourself, but win as a team. So that's what you bring to us every time, and your energy. You never come in there dead. You always come in there with energy. And that's one thing we love from you. And as me having some input of what's going on with the student body, I have for Mr. Brown, we would love to have back if we can get
you
back this year. Yes, ma'am.
I so appreciate that. Wow. That means a lot. And, you know, same thing with Blog Talk Radio. Even though they don't see my face yet, things like that. But I prepare and I really pray and ask God, what do you want me to share with the people this week? Because you know what? We're living in a very turbulent time. And yet, even though sometime it looks like there was a lot of loss, but then we have to find within ourselves the ability to win. And so thank you so much for that. I do appreciate that. In terms of like the materials and everything, you felt like the materials and the PowerPoint presentations were helpful to you?
Yes, ma'am, they was. Everything that you bring to us is an eye-opening to me because I've never seen it before. So that's one thing bring to us.
Thank you. Wow, that's great. That's great. I love it. Wow. And you know, sometimes, especially when I was in education, under the Board of Education, Department of Education, depends on what city you're in. Sometimes we would go to trainings, and it was all day from really like 8 to 5, and they'll give you a break and so on and so forth, and they do the breakout sessions. But sometimes they were really boring. How do we do in terms of making dull information alive and making it exciting?
You relate it to us. You put your situations that you know that we're dealing with as college students, you put that into your PowerPoint to make it livable, for it to have life into it, not just death. And you take the time out to actually love on us to make sure that we are somebody, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah, that's powerful. Thank you so much. I definitely it's good because I get to read the evaluations and just always wanting to make sure that I make impact. And I'm going to compare it quickly back to Blog Talk, because Blog Talk and MBI Noun is reaching out to the young adults, reaching out to the adults, reaching out to even elderly. And I always want to be relevant. So that's important to know. It really is. Any additional comments you may have?
Oh, no, ma'am.
Okay, wow, this is good. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's interesting, and just to be able to serve as a trainer, I'm looking forward to the next training. And this to my audience, it's pretty much like this. There are so many places that we can go to for training. There's so many places that we can go on the internet
or we can go into a physical building. There's so many schools for personal development. There's so many YouTube videos that you can watch. But I encourage you, as I said, I've been on Blog Talk for 5 months. My show is number 2 in the ratings from what I've been told. And we just aspire to give you good information, good content, and what's relevant. And if you want training and professional development, workshop facilitation, life coaching, mentoring, we have affordable pricing. We have new packages. We also have where you can come on Blog Talk Radio and be a part of this segment. And we just showcase you Mr. and Mrs. Jones, who were talking about finance, and their children was on, just talking about the different investments. And so we really mean business. We really mean to help you go from optimization to maximization. We mean business in our brand to help you to identify your skills, use your skills, and to maximize and make impact in life. And that's what this show is about, maximizing your life. Life itself, leadership, and that's physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological. That's all the cool, the political, the cultural, and the biological and the technological. And that's what Collins is saying, is that MBI is here to serve you. Give me a call, 862-205-9077. Always having you and your children and your children's children in mind. Check out the website, www.morel, M as in Morel, O-R-E-A-L-E, Brown, INC.com. And take a look at the YouTube videos, the Facebook, and the Instagram, and all of that different stuff so that we can partner with you. I said stuff, platforms. And, you know, as Mr. Collins is saying, we make it relevant. We make it personal because it really comes from, and I thank God for the grace. Everything that I do comes from a place of love. It comes from a place that I've been developing my team. We're developing a team just like Mr. Collins, and I'm like so proud of you for your progress and your team and people who are there. And then it's so interesting, Mr. Collins, you know, in terms of when you are in this leadership position with the Student Government Association and looking at the students' need and identifying their needs, but then there's also now you take those same skills in your business. And it's so interesting just to maximize, like you said, you're coming back. When you say you're going to start your product line again?
In January. My birthday is
in January.
So I'm going to do it January. And we're going to do it on Martin Luther King birthday, which will be January 16th, I believe.
Oh, wow. You hear that, Max Fam? Okay, January 16th, 2021, Martin Luther King's birthday. Wow. See,
2022.
And isn't it interesting? I'm sorry?
2022.
Thank you. 2022. And January 16th, 2022. All right? I don't need to go back for another year. But he's thinking already. He has a vision. And that's what leadership is about. That is what leadership is about. So what we're going to do now, Mr. Collins, we're going to open up the line. We have people listening via their computer device, and there's also others who will call in and then others who will text. So they'll either calling in with questions or comments. So we're going to open up the line so that you can address it to myself or Mr. Collins. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. So appreciate you.
Yes, yes. We want to remind you again, we're on with Coach Morel and our special guest, Mr. Charles K.B. Collins from Livingstone College. And he's VP of Student Government and Association there. And you have any questions for Coach Morel or him, you can address your questions directly. We're going to open up 863-337. 863-337. Your mic is open. Maybe you got to unmute yourself.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Kasia Kayut.
Hey, Kasia, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you? How's everybody?
Doing fine.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
My newborn's waking up, so he's hungry. I'm going to have to feed him.
Okay.
I just wanted to call.
I'm sorry. Just a little louder. You had the pleasure of listening to our training, right, with Livingstone College. So what was your thoughts?
Okay, Mrs. Payute is
She's
navigating
her
baby. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to move on to 843-610. 843-610, your mic is open.
Good evening. I just chimed into the show. I'm just listening.
Well, thank you. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
My name is Al in South Carolina.
I'm sorry?
Oh, hold on a second. I said my name is Al in South Carolina. Can you hear me?
Alan from South Carolina?
Yeah, Al.
Al from South Carolina. So what do you think about the show? You have any questions?
Oh, I'm loving it.
Are you just listening? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm a few minutes in, but it's definitely awesome. You know, coaching and leadership and things like that are very important. So,
yes,
I commend you with all that you do. I'm going to do some more research.
Well, thank you. I so appreciate it. Yes, I so appreciate it.
But, you know, Coach Morale, we can't let him go without saying what part of South Carolina he is now. You know that?
Yes, we're part of South Carolina.
Oh, I'm down by Arlington.
Arlington.
Okay,
are you familiar, Dr. Ron?
I'm from Allendale.
Oh, wow.
Where's Allendale? Where's that at, bro?
Near Beaufort, Denmark, Aiken. I know when you see all the watermelon and cotton, brother, you is.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Yes. So wonderful having a homeboy, as well as my dad is from North Carolina. So, Brother Charles, I got a little North Carolina in me, too. So.
So you got both worlds. Wow, North Carolina and South Carolina.
And raised up in Harlem, so I don't know what I'm doing, you know.
You know, I tell you, knowing how to navigate all of the experiences, that's so important. Well, thank you so much.
Amen.
Do you want to say something to our leader, Mr. Collins? Give our young people some encouragement.
I'd like to ask Mr. Collins, what part of Harlem was he raised up in? I was up top two at one time.
Oh, no, sir. I wasn't raised in Harlem.
That was me, Ron Robinson. I was.
That was Ron
Harlem.
Robinson.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right. Well, I look forward to the next program, and I'm going to check your archives also. Definitely.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Thank you. Appreciate it. Definitely like and share. You know, it's about spreading the good news. I like to give good news. And so that people can grow by. And so that's really what it's about. So thank you so much. And definitely, you know, follow us. And, you know, if you need services or recommend us to others, I appreciate that. Okay?
Indeed, definitely.
Have a great night. Thank you.
Indeed. Blessings.
Okay. We have some text messages as well.
Yes.
We have Darren Williams from from Wilmington, Delaware, and he's asking Mr. Collins, what is he studying in college right now? What programs are he studying?
So my major, I'm a business administration scholar. And I am a double major. So I have a business administration, and I'm also doing political science.
Wow, great. You won't be in there forever. I'm just kidding with you. Okay. We have Keisha Darren. Keisha Darren from Mississippi.
All right.
And she wants to know, Mr. Collins, Mr. Charles Collins, How did you decide on your studies? How did you decide that you were going to go into business administration and you were going to study these different subject matters?
So business, I own my own business. So I want to learn how to make sure and control my business so nobody could tell me my business is not legit. So that's why I want to be a business management scholar. And then political science, dealing with the Student Government Association and looking at the politics and how the politics was going in life. That's where I wanted to do. I wanted to be in politics as well. So that's how I started.
Great, great. Laurel Blackwell from, what's this? Wow, I should have this one down pat. She's from Story, Connecticut. Story, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
And I guess she's up there in UConn University.
Wow.
And she wants to know, like, in terms of your further studies, are you going to continue to your PhD, master's degree? You're going to go to exploring other colleges as well? Or are you going to, you're going to stay focused in North Carolina?
That's for me?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, after this, my 2 years, I am a junior, so I have two more years of school left at Livingstone College here in Salisbury, North Carolina. I will be going to grad school. I do not know what graduate school I will be attending just yet. Just know it will be a HBCU.
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, we have Diana, okay, I want to get this name right, Diana Adiomoso, and she's from Los Angeles, California, and she wants to know after you finish your studies, What do you plan on doing in terms of your lifetime career? And, you know, what are you focusing on in terms of your lifetime career after you finish university?
My lifetime goal is to have my business booming and have, like, a Nike factory, like, have my clothing brand in the Nike factory in different stores and also own different food trucks. I already invest in one food truck. I'm part owner of one food truck as well. I forgot to say that earlier. But just to invest in many more things and have generational wealth for my family.
Okay, great. Marvin Robertson from Stanfield, Delaware as well. He wants to know, how did you select your studies? How did you decide it in terms of you sat down with an academic counselor, and went over your studies?
Yes, that's how it started. Me and my advisor, Mr. Davis, my academic advisor, we sat down and talked about it. What would be best for you? What would be best for your career? Where do you want to go in life? And he mentored me, and he showed me the right way of where I want to go. That's what happened.
Great. Okay. We have Kiani Brownstone, and she is from Dade County, Florida. And she's asking you, Coach Morrell,
yes.
How do a person who has been, you know, not a social bug or not really outgoing, a little fearful of people, how do that person find the inner self to explore being social, going to parties? She's never been that kind of person, but how does she find that, you know, how does she find that inner strength? She's shy, I guess, and so she's trying to find a way to develop those social skills to go out and find friends and to date and things of that sort. She wants to know what can she do to develop a social type of mentality.
Right. I believe, thank you, Keani Brownstone, for that great question. It's important that you decide what you like to do first. And once you decide what you like to do, then you have different two things just to kind of get you going first. You can actually meet people on like a meetup group. You can do it more virtual first just to, you know, instead of just rushing out and starting going among a crowd, get your feet wet by interacting with social groups like Meetup and or because those are particular groups, if there's someone, let's just say you like to shoot pool like myself, going to the billiards, which I can do more often at any rate, you can find a group who like to go and shoot pool. And you can start interacting with them virtually first. You can also, once you decide, hey, I like to shoot pool, I'm interacting with these people, they seem to be pretty cool, then you can say, hey, let's do a play date, as if you're, you know, young. And then you can actually go out with them. And once you find out that they are, the relationship is what we call reciprocal, because every relationship you want to have, when you see that you are calling the individual or you're texting or you're on Instagram and you're sharing your time with that individual and they're doing the same thing, then you realize that they value you. And then you don't mind going out with them or with a group. Because usually, even if you go out with a group, there's going to be someone in that group that you may gravitate to. You may not gravitate to everyone. You may not click with everyone. But there are certain people you say, oh, they got a great vibe about themselves. They like what I like. They like to talk like I talk, or they're quiet like I am. And but they make you feel comfortable about being who you are. As I said earlier, Keani, I didn't really do a lot of talking. I didn't even do a lot of socializing until I really got to college. And then I joined the Christian club, or when I got older, as I got into church administration, then I would become part of other departments in the church. So find people that you are comfortable with being yourself, and that respect you for being who you are, and not try to make you become this social butterfly, and that's not you, who you are. It doesn't mean you can't be that. It means be comfortable until you go in uncomfortable settings. And it is uncomfortable to just go meet people that you don't know. So be okay with being uncomfortable until you can be comfortable in doing it. But don't force yourself, and don't allow people to force you into it. Take your time with it, because anything, Keani, that we're forced to do socially, we don't really want to do it again. And only, we only did it because we were pressured. But do it because you want to do it. And then also go on the internet and just talk about, put in, how can I be more sociable? How can I develop more confidence? And as well, I am here as a resource to help you to build your self-esteem so that you will become fearless, meaning that even you may feel a little fear about going out or about engaging other people, you can start decreasing that fear little by little and then rewarding yourself for making that progress. So, Keani, I hope that helps. Thank you for calling in, texting in. I do appreciate it.
Wow, great. You know, like all good times, everything comes to end so quickly.
I know. I was just looking at that, Dr. Ron. Wow. Well, this has been good. I mean, really, oh, my God. Mr. Collins, wow.
Yes, ma'am.
I tell you, it's just, again, you just came from the trip and, you know, Savannah State University, where, you know, I'm sure you've been, you know, engaging in workshops, and then, like you said, a little downtime, a little fun time. And
yes,
just to come out of your busy schedule, I mean, I hear that it's, open house or something like that this week at Livingstone College?
Yes, on Friday. Yes. Friday and Saturday. In-state is
Friday.
Friday
and Saturday.
Saturday.
Okay.
Is out.
Wow. So that means you're just back at it. But I want to thank you because you took out the time and you help us to just maximize this show even more. Because I do a lot of talking, and people say, well, why are you always promoting training? Because I love searching information. I love that when I learn how to become a better leader and leveling up my leadership skills, I like telling people. I'm just like, let me just tell it like the gospel. I just like, you know, disseminating information, making it fun, making it practical. And again, for you taking out your time out of your busy schedule as the VP, I am so appreciative to you. And I thank your leader who has set the stage, Dr. Jimmy Jenkins, you know, Mr. Anthony Brown, and your VP, Justin, just allowing, you know, you to just to be free for this moment, and all those that have been supporting you, Dee Dunn, who's, you know, your partner in business. I can't wait to have you guys come back on the show. I'm going to chill out a little bit tomorrow, even though I'll still be working, but I'll get some information out to you so that we can make that happen. But we definitely want you to come back in your own right and continue to show, you know, young people and to ignite young people, because it's a lot of questions, and it's 8:56. I'm going to wrap it up. But I want to thank you for empowering people, inspiring people, leading people, and sharing your vision. This has been the Maximize Your Life Show and my sidekick, Dr. Ron, and I want to say thank you to Neo Nation. Please, audience, Max Fam, we want to take you from optimization to maximization. We want you to identify your gifts. I'll say it this way, your tag, your talents, your abilities, and your gifting, so that we could help you use your ability to achieve maximum impact. Give me a call, 862-205-9077. Visit my website, www.morealinc.com. God bless you. Make it a great one. Thank you, Mr. Collins. Thank you to your family.
Now, bye-bye. We want y'all to remember that Brother Pastor Hezekiah Walker, the man himself, said that it got to get better. Because God is in control. Everybody remember that. Don't forget. You got to get better. It has to.
Come on, everybody. Put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.